जय नित्य लील भूपृष्ठ विष्णु पाद परमहंस His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Savior of the World, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Nitya Lila Pavishnu Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bhaktivacharya Stotara Satachi Srimad. His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Param Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Iskand BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki chai, Dantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Go Premanandi. All glories to your assembled devotees. All glories to your assembled devotees. All glories to your assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Guranga. Shri Prabhupada ki. Okay. Everybody ready? Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai And Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, because the last verse is from Bhagavatam that we'll read. So I understand it starts on 138, is that the first text? Okay. Let's see. So how do we do it? You just chant myself, or would you like to repeat, or how? There's only a purport at the last text. What is the guideline? I'll chant myself. Oh, you chant together? Okay. All right, well, I think we do it in unison. Is that how we do it? Anyway, I'll just get started. Let's see what happens. Purva bhattere mane eka chila abhimanam Sri Narayana hayena svayam bhagavan. Translation. Before this explanation was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkata Bhat thought that Sri Narayan was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 139. Kanhara Bhajana Sarvopadi Kakshi Haya Sri Vaishnavara Bhajana Ehi Sarvapadi Haya. Translation. Thinking in this way, Venkata Bhat believed that worship of Narayan was the supreme form of worship, superior to all other processes of devotional service. For it was followed by the Sri Vaishnav disciples of Ramanujacharya. Text 140. Etanra garva prabhu karite kandanam parihasadvari uttaya ete kavachanam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood this misconception of Venkata Bhat, and to correct it, the Lord talked so much in a joking way. 141. Prabhu kahe bata tumi nakari samshayam svayam bhagavan krishna eta nishtayam. The Lord then continued, My dear Venkata Bhat, please do not continue doubting. Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and this is the conclusion of the Vedic literatures. Text 142. Krishna Vilasa Murti Sri Narayana Atayeva Lakshmi Adyera Hare Tenhamana. Lord Narayan, the opulent form of Krishna, attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune and her followers. All right, now this is a Bhagavatam text. Ete chamsa kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam Indrai Vyakulam Lokam Vidayanti Yuge Yuge Ete chamsa kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Dayanti Yuge Yuge Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Dayanti Yuge Yuge Ete chamsa kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Vidayanti Yuge Yuge Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam Ete, these, cha, and, amsa, plenary portions, kala, parts of plenary portions, humsa, of the Purusha avatars, Krishna, Lord Krishna, tu, but, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Svayam himself, Indra Adi, the enemies of Lord Indra, Vyakulam, full of, Lokam, the world, Vidayanti, make happy, Yuge Yuge, at the right time in each age. Translation and almost a purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation, all these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatar. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Omai gyanati milandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshum militam yena tajma shri gurave namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was asking if there's a first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and somehow it's... I can't quite do it like that. Yeah, maybe you could lend me the device. Actually, I'll need a little later in the class. You can use it. Meanwhile, I'll give you a high sign when I need it. Of course, this verse. Because I would assume that when they planned the classes, Krishna Keshava Prabhu and company, Mother Mukhya, that they assumed that the speaker would open up the Bhagavatam and then read the verse. Okay, here we go. Perfect. Thank you, Mukhya Prabhu. So I will read some of that. It's a fairly long purport. We'll see how the time goes. Do I get up till 9 o'clock? Is it usual time? All right. Let's get real. 9 o'clock. All right. I don't have that. You know, it's not that much. Of course, things tend to expand. All right. So I made a little preparation here. Preparation focused on Srimad Bhagavatam 1328. Well, let's see how this goes. So what I picked up here when I was thinking is that there are certain interrelated themes which underlie the priority and ultimate superiority of Sri Krishna over Narayan, as discussed in the current dialogue between Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Priyankata Bhatt. So what are these underlying themes? Well, these all kind of tie in. I mean, first of all, the context is the idea of the goddess of fortune and how she can go in the Rasa dance. In other words, there's something very special happening when it comes to Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna himself, that even the goddess of fortune doesn't have easy access to him. Only the gopis can engage in the Madhurya Ras with Lord Sri Krishna. It's very, very exclusive. Then also, we can say the internal, we can say primary, and external, we can say secondary reasons for the Lord's to advent in this world. These are all interrelated. As an example of a second external reason, we have this verse in Adi Lila, Apani Karimo Bhakta Bhava Angikare, Apani Achari Bhakti Shikai Imu Shabari. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. That's I don't know if that's actually Krishna himself anticipating his advent of Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Chaitanya speaking. Pushka Prabhu, is he here? He would know. Thank you. Anyway, one way or the other, it's okay. So this is... there would be an external reason. There's a whole chapter at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, there's first the external reasons and the internal reasons. And we can kind of relate the external reasons as secondary reasons. And the internal reason is the primary reason. And that applies particularly not to just any incarnation. I mean, I think it's safe to say that when you get to the different incarnations, and they're the verse shortly before the 1328 verse, and that became the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, the 143, number 143, is that the avatars are more numerous than rivulets of than many rivers coming from inexhaustible extensions of water. There's so many avatars. They're more numerous than the waves in the ocean, we can say. Ashankya. They're uncountable, innumerable. But there's only one Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, amongst all those avatars. Anyway, that's just one of the interrelated themes. More interrelated theme. Distinction, we're getting to this, distinction between the avatar and the avatari. Another interrelated theme. The great rarity of the former as opposed to the latter, which I just mentioned. In other words, the great rarity of the latter as opposed to the former. In other words, the avatari or the source of the avatars, you don't get to see that personality in every millennium or every yuga. And then related also, and this is a theme I was really trying to emphasize in Janmashtami in Trinidad, in a wonderful Janmashtami program, and I had the privilege of speaking, and our great good fortune. This theme, this topic was also very much related, and we'll explain that. But we're just so fortunate in so many ways. All right, what do I mean? I'll expand a little on this. We're so fortunate to be here, to be on this planet, in this human form, and precisely at this time, during the 28th Mahayuga of the Vaivashvata Manu, the son of Vivashvan, and during the particular Kali Yuga of this particular Mahayuga cycle, and during the 10,000-year golden age of Lord Chaitanya, of this special Kali Yuga, and only 500 years subsequent to the equally rare advent of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I just said a mouthful. But if you do the math on all this, it comes out like we really won a Powerball lottery, like big time. In fact, we're so fortunate, and the chances are so unlikely, that I remember, I didn't know all these details, but when I first joined, I heard that, you know, we actually were only 500 years ago, God appeared, actually Radha Krishna combined, appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I didn't even know at that time that all these other numbers involved. But still, it seemed so unlikely. And I even told the devotees, I don't win lotteries. I mean, I can't be that lucky. I mean, it seems maybe it's contrived. Maybe it's just to make us get fired up or something. We're so fortunate and lucky. But then as the years went by, I said, you know, what they say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. In Spanish, they say, don't look at the teeth. That, in other words, take the mercy. Take the mercy. Don't question, I can't be that lucky. I mean, there's a point I mentioned in Trinidad, if you got a phone call or an email and they said, be careful, because sometimes you get these emails. I just got one the other day that, oh, you're so fortunate, you want, just click on this link and then you'll get it. Don't do it. It's usually a scam. You'll get a virus in your computer. But supposing it was really like confirmed in different ways, but you kept getting this phone and it was authorized. And someone said, you won the lottery. Of course, we don't gamble, but it's just an example. So you won the lottery. And then you said, nah, I can't be that lucky. I'm not even, why should I waste the taxi fare and go pick up the ticket? And then, you know, you just didn't do it. And then they gave the money to someone else. It would be very unfortunate for you. So take the mercy. We're being told that we're incredibly, incredibly fortunate in other ways, too. We're just in this context, that we happen to coincide with such a rare, rare appearance. I mean, I don't have time to do the math for you, but you can get the idea. First of all, it's 1 in 1,000, because it's only one Mahayuga cycle in 1,000 Yuga cycles of one of the millennium, which is understood as the day of Lord Brahma. And then of that, it's only 1 out of 4, which has to be Kali Yuga. And then it has to be during the 10,000 years. So Kali Yuga, how many years in Kali Yuga? 432,000. So that's only 10,000. That's 1 in 43. Now you add all these numbers up, it becomes like just like winning Powerball lottery. So and that's only that aspect of our good fortune that we're here. We happen to be in the right sampradaya, as we're hearing here in these verses. If you're in the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya, do you understand? That's very nice. Lord Narayan is God. He is God. But he's not Swayam Bhagavan. Sometimes Prabhupada would say Supreme Personality of Godhead for Lord Vishnu like that, but usually we understand Supreme Personality of Godhead means Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, the primordial, original, like that original candle that lights all the other candles, and that shows all the opulences of the Lord all at once. Sad Ashvaya Punam. So great good fortune. That's another, keep in mind all these different topics that interrelate. As I was just mentioning, the Enkatabhat was an inspired member of the Sri Ramanuja Sampradaya and was therefore bewildered by Lord Chaitanya's tactfully presented yet profound questions. This is the point of procedure here, is that when I'm reading something, it's not that I'm forgetting to give you the reference, it means I wrote it. But if I didn't write it, then I'll give you the reference, okay? So don't think that, oh, what is the Shastra for that? It's not Shastra, but it's just called me preparing the class. All right. So that's why Dhyankatabhat became bewildered by Lord Chaitanya's tactfully presented yet profound questions, with some humor also in the part of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the same. Now, in this trend, this is something that really struck my attention here. In this translation that we just heard to the Srimad Bhagavatam verse, the Mahavakya verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the Mahavakya of all the Vedic scriptures in general? Who can say? Om. Really getting to it. Om, the Pranava, is the Mahavakya. Not Tatvamasi or Ahambramasi, but the Om is actually the Mahavakya. So what's the Mahavakya of Srimad Bhagavatam? It's that verse that we were just reciting, especially Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So in this translation to that verse, we find, and I'll read it again, in every age he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. However, in the original Srimad Bhagavatam wording, it reads, the Lord incarnates to protect the theists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theist. And you notice there's a slight difference there. Of course, there's no anomaly involved. Indeed, we often, almost always, find such alternative renderings as we move from one scripture to another. Most typically, from the original Bhagavatam verses to their being cited by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we can detect a specific reason for this variation. In other words, let me say that in other words. That there's a, in the context of what we're hearing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it makes a lot of sense that instead of saying that the Lord incarnates to protect the theist, in this verse, I guess I should read it again, we hear that in every age he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. I think you're getting a sense where this is going, that Prabhupada is emphasizing in the translation in CC that it's not directly, it's not Krishna Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, but it's through different features that he comes. So this is another, this is relates again to our great good fortune that we happen to be just in the right Kali Yuga where Krishna is not coming in his different features, but he's coming himself, and he's also coming as Vishnu. We're going to explain that more very shortly by citing more from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just in general, according to Shastra, Krishna in his original two-handed form as the primeval Svayam Bhagavan, as Avatari, all these interrelated topics, is the cause of even his own personal expansions and avatars or incarnations. And this utterly original primeval Krishna comes to this world so very rarely. And when he does finally appear himself as he is originally, the corresponding Yuga avatar merges in him, or more precisely, is already included in him, and also in a sense merges, as are all the other incarnations. I mean, I wasn't planning on mentioning this, but we recall Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Leela, amazing Leela, that he's on the boat on the Jaladutu, just hearing the diary. This was after the crisis, but when there was an extreme crisis not too far into the voyage, we recall that everybody knows Srila Prabhupada was having heart attacks. And he's very painful, even worse than the seasickness, obviously. And then he had that dream. And in that dream, Lord Krishna had taken over the ship. I guess the ship became sort of like a Viking sailing ship, and with many rowers, many oars, and they were incarnations of the Lord. So Krishna, his incarnations were automatically there. The original Krishna includes all his incarnations, includes everything. Excuse me. So to continue. So in this regard, to clarify this a little more, in the fourth chapter of Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are some very pertinent verses that explain this a little more clearly. Let's hear it directly from Shastra. Text 7. Purveyena prithivira bahara haribare krishna avatirna haila shastite prachare. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. Next text. Svayam bhagavan nera karma nahe bharana sthiti karta vishnu karena jagat palana. To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. You heard this in Trinidad. I was reciting these verses in Chamakri. Kintu Krishnera yehihaya avatara kala para harana kala tate hailam vishala. But the time, now listen to this one carefully, please. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. And purport, Prabhupada writes, we have information from Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears at particular intervals to adjust the time-worn spiritual culture. Lord Sri Krishna appeared at the end of Dvapara Yuga to regenerate the spiritual culture of human society and also to manifest his transcendental pastimes. Vishnu is the authorized Lord who maintains the created cosmos, and he is also the principal deity who makes adjustments when there is improper administration in the cosmic creation. But Sri Krishna, being the primeval Lord, appears not in order to make such administrative adjustments, but only to exhibit his transcendental pastimes and thus attract the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. However, the time for administrative rectification and the time for Lord Sri Krishna's appearance coincided at the end of the last Dvapara Yuga. Therefore, when Sri Krishna appeared, Vishnu, the Lord of Maintenance, merged with him because all the plenary portions and parts of the Absolute Personality of God had merged with him during his appearance. Aha! Now you can understand more of the mystery how Lord Krishna, he's saying, it sounds like he's Yuga Avatar. He says, whenever and ever there's a decline and I appear and different yugas, there's what is it, Hamsa and Sattva Yuga to teach the process of meditation. And then there's, I believe, Yajna and Treta Yuga to teach the process of great sacrifices. And then Krishna appears somehow in a blackish form, don't ask me to explain, in Dwarpa Yuga to teach devotional service to his lotus feet, but that's done in great temple, very elaborate temple worship. And then in Kali Yuga, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kalo Tadhari Kirtana, he appears as the golden avatar. Oh, he's avatar? Not really. Also avatari, and Radha and Krishna combined. So I had a quick back and forth with Dravida Prabhu before I was giving a class in on Janmashtami in Trinidad, just to confirm that even though Lord Chaitanya is called an avatar, he's called Chana avatar, like a hidden avatar, but he still is the same schedule as Svayam Bhagavan Krishna. He only comes once in a day of Lord Brahma. So that's a fact. Text 10. This is in Adi Lila, chapter 4. Purna Bhagavan Avatariye. Let's try that again. Purna Bhagavan Avatariye Kale Arasava Avatara Tante Asimile. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within Him. Text 11 and 12. Narayana Chaturvyuda Matsyadya Avatara Yugaman Vantara Avatara Yate Ache Ara Sabe Ache Krishna Ange Haya Avatirna Aiche Avatare Krishna Bhagavan Purna. Lord Narayan, the four primary expansions, Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Arjuna, and Anirudh, Matsya, and the other Leela incarnations, the Yuga avatars, the Manvantara incarnations, and as many other incarnations as there are, and there are quite a few, all descend in the body of Lord Krishna. In this way, the complete Supreme Godhead, Lord Krishna himself, appears. Text 13. Ataeva Vishnu Takana Krishnera Sharire Vishnu Dvare Kare Krishna Asura Samhare. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Okay. Mm-hmm. 14. Anusanga Karma E Asura Marana. Yelagi avatar kahi se mula karana. Thus the killing of the demons is but secondary work. I shall now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. This is text 15 and 16. Prema rasa niryasa karite ashvadana. Raga marga bhakti loke karite pracharana. Rasika sekara krishna parama karuna. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus, he is known as supremely jubilant and is the most merciful of all. Before I read section or all of the purport, it's not very long. We're getting towards the end of this reading now. I hope I'm correct here. I don't think that this correlates with the first the internal and external reasons, because when it's talking about teaching, preaching work might seem like to help the world external, but that kind of preaching to show the platform of spontaneous attraction And the most intense level, actually, Mahabhava, Srimati Radharani's mood and intense feeling of pure love for Krishna, that is internal, that is primary, that is the desire of the original primeval Supreme Personality of God, rather than the mission and the agenda of him through his avatars. Let's hear some of the purport, or maybe all the purport. During the period of Lord Krishna's appearance, the killing of asuras or non-believers such as Kamsa and Jarasandha was done by Vishnu, who is within the person of Sri Krishna. Such apparent killing by Lord Sri Krishna took place as a matter of course and was an incidental activity for him. But the real purpose of Lord Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Vrajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. I think that confirms what I was saying. That kind of teaching, that was not like some, like, even starting the Sankirtan movement, well, that, you can go either way with that, because it's a prayer to Radha and Krishna, so, but sometimes we hear that the establishment of the Sankirtan movement was an act of the Yuga avatar, because in every Kali Yuga, Harinam is the only way. In every Kali, but not that Lord Chaitanya comes, but still, Harinam is the Yuga, and one of the Yuga avatars, or we can say the Yuga avatar. Actually, I did a little research on that, and in other Kali Yugas, there's also a Yuga avatar. It's sometimes it's even a empowered ordinary living entity comes as the Yuga avatar. In these other Kali Yugas, where I guess you can say the prime avatar is the holy name himself. All right, so we're hearing that when we see, oh, Krishna killed this demon, Krishna killed that demon, it's Krishna, yes, but it's Krishna through the Yuga avatar of Vishnu who merged. They became as if they were just the same person. Gives us insight into things, how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's actually in his Vishnu aspect. So these reciprocal exchanges of mellows are called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord in transcendental rapture. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known to all the conditioned souls that he is more attracted by Raga Bhakti than Vidhi Bhakti, or devotional service under scheduled regulations. Now, please, that doesn't mean we just give up our regulations. We were just hearing this morning in the reading. What were you reading from this morning? That not you, someone else. We're reading how even Paramahansas, we're hearing about Madhavendra Puri sat down in an abandoned marketplace and was chanting rounds Hare Krishna. And even Paramahansas, they chant on beads and chant Hare Krishna. We should never think what to speak of and all our other regulated activities. Everything in its proper time. Okay. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known, okay, that he's more attracted by Raga Bhakti than Vidhi Bhakti. It is said in the Vedas, Tattariya Upanishad 2.7, Raso Vaisa, the absolute truth is the reservoir for all kinds of reciprocal exchanges of loving sentiments. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of Raga Bhakti. Thus he appeared by his own internal energy. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. Now that's interesting. When it says extraneous force, of course, that applies to the incarnations as well. They're not a force to appear as we are. That's such a big offense. Prabhupada quotes that verse in the purport of 9.12 in Bhagavad Gita, that moga samoga karma no verse. In the purport, he quotes from Shastra that if one even sees the face of a person who thinks that Krishna takes a material body when he appears in this world, one should immediately jump in the Ganges or Yamuna with all his clothes on. Don't even hesitate to purify himself from the contamination of seeing the face of someone who thinks that Krishna is like an ordinary living entity that takes a material body. Or what to speak of someone who thinks that Krishna is coming because he's forced by his karma. Therefore, janma karma chame divam evam yoveti tatvataha. We have to know Krishna in truth, not with these gross misunderstandings. We won't reap any kind of benefit. In fact, it could be very offensive. But when we're hearing that he doesn't force to appear by any extraneous force, in the context of what all this, where all these verses are focused on, the distinction between Krishna as opposed to Krishna's avatars, that I think it's safe to say that Krishna, when he comes as Lord Sri Krishna, it's not because of a crisis in the material world. It's not as the yuga avatar comes because it says here extraneous force or external force, or in other words, it's extraneous in the sense it's superfluous to the mood and the feeling of the primeval original Svayam Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna. He simply enjoys. What was that story, anecdote that? Even one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, I think a German devotee, something came and he even commented that he could see how Krishna must be the supreme personality of God, and because all the incarnations, they have work to do, they have some agenda, they have some mission to perform. So in that sense, that would be like an extraneous force. Now we're not talking. This is a much more elevated kind of extraneous force. It's not the extraneous force as we appear, because we're pushed by our karmic obligations. We're forced to come and live out our karma. But rather, even that kind of extraneous force does not apply to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. The extraneous force of doing good in this world and coming. Of course, the ultimate good, yes, the most sublime and incredible good, it's beyond good, is coming to teach the most intense level of love of God, Krishna Prema, pure love of God in the most intense mood, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, golden avatar comes. What could be better than that? But it's not this, what Prabhupada's referring to as these routine administrative adjustments or rectifications. That's the yada yada hi dharmasya principle. So, yes. Anyway, when I was speaking in Trinidad, it was on Janmashtami, so it was more opportunity to get into the difference between Devaki Nandana and Yasoda Nandana, and how that works, and get into some of the mysteries of how Krishna actually was born of Mother Yasoda. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but there are some telltale nomenclatures in the Bhagavatam that I don't remember the exact Sanskrit, but it means the real son of Yasoda is there. Even in Bhagavatam, you'll find these hints. And then in other scriptures, you find more explicit description of how Krishna actually is born, born transcendentally from Mother Yasoda, and how the Yuga avatar merged. Devaki Nandana was brought by Vasudev to Gokul, and then they, no one saw it both in Gokul. They merged, so Mother Yasoda had both to take care of. At that point. So I was also mentioning, I use an example, which I guess is relevant to today's classes, that Krishna's, just like Arjuna was ambidextrous, not just like, just an analogy, ambidextrous, in other words, he can shoot arrows equally well with one hand or the other hand. That's why it's quite appropriate for, of course, I think all the Kshatriyas had two quivers of arrows, but Arjuna, those inexhaustible arrows, he can use either hand. So similarly, or extraordinarily, Lord Sri Krishna, when he comes and he's merged with the yoga avatar of Vishnu, then he is ambidextrous. In other words, he can move either way. He's always doing that. But again, his primary reason, this also applies, there's also primary and secondary reasons when he appears as Lord Chaitanya, which again only occurs when Lord Krishna appears in his original form, only one time in a day of Lord Brahma. Then there also is this, what's the word? Versatility? Versatility? Is that the word? Very versatile. Of course, you expect that of Krishna. But the versatility is not only that he's so adept at, even in a sporting way, of killing the demons, but the versatility that while all that's going on, Krishna, the same Krishna that appeared only 5,000 years ago, and you might say 5,000 years is such a long time, it's nothing. I mean, compared to, you know, a day of Lord Brahma is 4 billion, what is it, 320-something, 40-something years. I mean, 5,000 out of 4 billion is nothing. It's like a needle in a haystack. It's just a tiny little portion. Again, how fortunate we are. So I guess I'll stop at this point on that happy note. So anyone, yes, Janmasthami, please.
So the question comes to mind, who spoke Bhagavad Gita then? Was it Vishnu, or was it Krishna, or was it the merge of the two? Because there's some verses, obviously, that don't deal, you know, which is the purpose of Swayam Bhagavan descent for the main internal reason.
Well, when we, now let's not get bent out of shape, so to speak, by the word merge. We're not, it's nothing to do with Sayuja Mukti, but here we can, it's a user-friendly context to use the word merge. So in this case, merge prevails. In other words, even on the battlefield of Bhagavad Gita, the merge, that means that both potentials were there, more than potential, Krishna, the original primeval Lord, is speaking. But yes, most of the, that's why Arjuna, you know, didn't understand that Upanishadic language, because he was teaching in more like a yuga avatar mood. That's why Arjuna says, Kim tad brahma, kim atyatma, kim karma purushottama, at the beginning of chapter 8, at the end of chapter 7. Sadi bhutadi daiva mam sadi yagna. Now Arjuna didn't understand all that Upanishadic language. So Krishna's instructing like an Upanishad. But then, as been pointing out one of our dear God brothers, that that word Ramante comes up in the in one of the Chatur Shlokis. Mach chita magata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantashtamam nita tusyanti cha Ramanti cha. Now, Ramanti means romance, romantic relationship between a young boy and a young girl. It's a very rasika kind of word. And it was suggested, I would be interested to find out the Shastric basis, but it does make sense that Lord Krishna was going off. He was that, then he was, that was Swayam Bhagavan. Because that same battle of Kurukshetra, 50 years earlier, was the pitiable scene of the solar eclipse and the residents of Vrindavan meeting the residents of Dwarka, and they were meeting there on the battle, and that's the origin of the Rath Yatra and all that. So it was very, very poignant, very poignant. It's the same battle of Kurukshetra. So Arjuna was, according to this realization that this very scholarly, respected godbrother had, that he was going off, and then Arjuna had to get him back to the Yuga avatar mood. So the both are there. In other words, hey, come on, there's a battle about to take place, and you still have to convince me completely. And, you know, I need more real, like, lawful, legal type instructions now. Don't go off into this Vrindavan mood. This Ramante is there. Anyway, maybe that's stretching too much the word Ramante. We could look into that further. But it's a very plausible, because in Bhagavatam class in front of the deities, it's not a question you shouldn't say, well, everything should be absolutely 100,000,000% certain. But then I guess I can never give any class if I didn't meet that standard. I'm sorry. Is that okay? That the merge is there, yeah. They're both there. Mostly Krishna is instructing. Very. And when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya gani bhavitabhar, he's referring to his expansions, yoga avatar. But that doesn't mean he's not there. That's Krishna. That's the beauty of it. Krishna's always there this time around. Other times, you'll get the avatar. You don't get avatari. This time we have Krishna. How fortunate. What could be better? Yes.
There's one. You were kind of apologizing for, you know, not being 100% sure, but there's one famous letter for Prabhupada differentiates between central speculation.
I posted that on the bulletin board in Trinidad. I'm on the same page with you on that. I know it was a letter to Sadbuj, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm really excited about this. That it's he was basically saying that let you say it because it's special. Yeah, well, it's he first of all at the end of the letter he said this is a very good question. He praised the disciple for asking this question, and he was pointing out that that there are so many ways of understanding a particular verse. So philosophical. Actually, I'm not exactly drawing a blank, but I better pass the baton to you on this. You were about to explain that letter. I don't want to put you on the spot. Okay, give him back the mic. I mean, there are other references also to the difference. I mean, this was not exactly the gist of the letter, but the more general description is that when you're doubting scripture and you're speculating whether or not it's true, that's mental speculation. Whereas philosophical speculation is you're using intelligence and you're being thoughtful to understand how it's true. But the letter got even a little deeper than that.
Well, it went on to, I think it also explains how if we're using our intelligence to try and understand scripture, you know, to go deeper and deeper into our relationship with Krishna, then that's very favorable to devotional service, whereas mental speculation, you know, with this whole doubt, and then that with the aim of going deeper in the relationship with Krishna, then that's very unfavorable. The devotional service. So, some, you know, but then there are other letters where, other points where Prabhupada decries philosophical speculation. But this one, he makes a differentiation between mental speculation and philosophical speculation.
Yeah, someone was mentioning that in relation to one of our wonderful ISKCON controversies, I won't even tell you which one, because everyone will get all excited and everything. But in that context, so one of the protagonists was mentioning that because people would quote Prabhupada and it would seem to contradict what his thesis was, and he was very skeptical about getting so many quotes from Prabhupada because it was right in a sense that sometimes it could be quoted out of context or quoting cherry picking your quote and not showing the other quotes. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, I would say. We do need to quote Srila Prabhupada. So in this case, I think I'm justified in quoting because, first of all, it's in the most important book, the Bhagavad Gita. You can say Bhagavatam, but I think, you know, Bhagavad Gita is Prabhupada would say, our whole preaching is Bhagavad Gita. So in Bhagavad Gita, and the first very beginning of the purport to the first text of the 14th chapter, that's when Prabhupada is recommending philosophical speculation. And then you could find other texts where philosophical speculation and mental speculation are kind of now and not in a very good way merged together. Although I shouldn't say that, it's perfect. But it's just a different context. But I would uphold the point that there is a distinction between philosophical speculation and mental speculation. Just like the same thing with impersonalist and Mayavadis. In some places you'll find Prabhupada would just, you know, just put it all and paint it with a broader brush and put them all in the same category. But then if we follow Prabhupada's instruction to read my books scrutinizingly, then we'll find that there is quite a distinction, even in the verses in Bhagavatam, like that Mahatmanas Param, what is it? Mahatmanas Seva, how does it go? Vimukte, Tamodvaram Yoshitam, that verse, where the glories of the Mahatmas, he even describes their Mahatmas, both personalists and impersonalists. That doesn't mean that every impersonalist is a Mayavad. So, you know, which is what you could find more continual. What is Prabhupada, the more essential, more consistent when you're quoting, and you could find through a general study of all of Prabhupada's books, you could find that a particular point is more consistently upheld. Then I think it's quite valid to quote that and use that as the Siddhanta, rather than other places where, for particular reasons, Prabhupada would not write in exactly the same way. So this is called hermeneutics, how to interpret scripture, how to understand. Now I used a dirty word, not dirty, but interpret. You can't interpret, but Gopi Paranadana Prabhu would use that word and interpret also. Could be just like philosophical speculation. Interpret is not always, off the wall, so to speak. Yes, the next question, point. Oh no, Stita Di. Okay, here we go. Hare Krishna.
Lou. It seems if you're, well, one angle of, I mean, vision.
Well, let's try to somehow dovetail this whole topic with what the whole class is about.
You know, it's bhakti yoga, and if we're engaging the intellectual energy or our intelligence in the service of Krishna, we're trying to understand them, we're offering our analysis, you know, you're engaging your intelligence in bhakti, so that would seem to be a good thing because you're engaging Krishna's energy.
Bhudi yoga.
Yeah, bhudi yoga. Whereas like mental speculation, this is a big topic. I don't think any sound bites are going to deal with it. But mental speculation is more like, I'm trying to find an excuse not to serve Krishna. You're not to engage in devotional service.
You have a hidden agenda.
Yeah, you're finagling, you're twisting, you're trying to turn away.
Okay, now it says here I'm supposed to repeat all the comments and questions. I haven't been doing that. So all of you who are listening on the radio, please forgive me. Oh, you have the mic. All right. And yeah, we're passing the mic around, so this doesn't apply here. Okay. You don't have to forgive me, but I could use forgiveness for other things. Is it for that? All right. Yeah, I mean, that letter actually that Janmashtami was referring to, it had a couple of other nectarian points, and I don't think we can quite capture, but that'll be my homework assignment. I'll maybe print it out and maybe bring it tomorrow and we can look at it if many of us would like to. Okay, anything else? Someone here had a question? This way. I heard a sound. this Prabhu. Okay.
What you were talking about, Hare Krishna. what you were talking about, all those numbers. And because I've been thinking about that off and on for the last 40 years, and if you look out in the field, you know, all these blades of grass, right? Then there's microbes, then there's the insects. And it's, so on top of all those numbers, I could be any one of those species, but I happen to be a human being when Srila Prabhupada walked around.
I included that in my list of criteria of conditions that had to be met. You know, you have to have human birth also. Although even non-human living entities benefit, but not as we can, yeah.
So
it just increases the odds. It just makes it so and more unlikely.
How many species are there? 8,400,000?
Last time I checked, yeah.
But so I was a human at this time.
Yeah, we it's good. Like that's another number. That's another
incredible.
You have to calculate that in, and then you know the odds, you know, go way beyond that 1 in 1,000 that we're in the right Mahayuga cycle. It just becomes enormously unlikely.
That's the problem. So the problem is that my logical mind can't swallow that. It's too good to be
true. It's too good to be true. So then you won the lottery, you're not going to accept the ticket, so we'll just have to give the money to someone else.
If I try to think of the cause of all causes, it's the same problem. Everything has a cause, but to find that there's a God, that there's something there that was always there that it's uncaused, my mind can't handle that either.
Maybe that's why it's esoteric. Maybe that's why it's something that today's class was the exception rather than a rule. It's not so much emphasized. That's why when Prabhupada, I'm not saying I know for sure, but when Prabhupada translated the verse in the Bhagavatam, it doesn't go into that. It doesn't nuance it like that. It's only the text in the postgraduate course. This is CC. On Saturdays, you all become postgraduates every week. So in the postgraduate course, then Prabhupada nuances that. In other words, he mentions it's just one of his expansions. Because then it leads us to the same question I had when I first joined. I can't believe it. It's too good to be true. Well, if you don't take the mercy, you're a loser. And so I'd rather not question so much. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. It's coming to us on a silver platter. We're being told, not always directly, but with further study, we're finding out it does seem like it's too good to be true. If we're very neophyte, then we'll say, no, it can't be true then.
I have that mind, and it can't handle it. Then I have another mind.
Okay, let's see. This is probably a better one.
The other mind just says it feels really good to be a devotee.
Gotcha.
And it's a total, like, at last I have something that I can hold on to. Take that other mind and throw it in the garbage, because it can't grasp this.
But let's put this in perspective. Let's say we weren't in the right yuga cycle. You know, let's just say we weren't like this. Still, we're incredibly fortunate. And to Venkata Bhat, because he met Lord Chaitanya and then everything became elevated more and more. But he was not a loser. To go to Vaikuntha is not really a bad thing. For very, very advanced devotee, they don't like it. They don't want it. That's why the pure on Vrindavan platform, devotees won't accept even those Vaikuntha-type liberations. Like to have the same body, to associate constantly, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is that if it's too good to be true, then okay, say I don't believe it. It's too good to be true. But then you can just go back to the wonderful good fortune, even if it weren't that super Powerball lottery situation, and we were just fortunate enough to somehow come in contact with Sri Guru Parampara and worship in awe and reverence, and understand Vishnu, and we would be convinced Narayan is the supreme personality of Godhead, and Lord Krishna is just an incarnation of Narayan. There was a morning walk conversation or some room conversation, and the devotee was saying, oh, they're in Maya, these life members or whatever, whoever they were, these Indian devotees, they're in Maya because Prabhupada, they think that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu, and they were kind of like expected Prabhupada to say, yeah, they're nonsense. I said, no, that's all right. That's all right. Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur even built a temple of the four sampradayas, isn't it? Glorifying all the Vaishnavas. But even other Vaishnavas may not understand our good fortune. Even they may say, oh, it's too good to be true, how could you? But we just gradually are realizing when we hear about matchless gifts, now you know the real purport of matchless gifts. It's more matchless than you could. Even other Vaishnavas may not be privy to this. Now, let's not get puffed up about it. Let's just count our blessings, which are.
Oh, the other sampradayas have a problem with Krishna because he's immoral.
Immoral, yeah. They misunderstand. Usually it's not that gross. They don't understand gopis. They don't understand many things. But again, it doesn't mean that they're not exalted. They didn't win the Powerball lottery. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shamashandara Shri Shri Gorni Jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jago Primanam Haribol. Thank you.